Father, we thank you for visiting us with your presence. As it is written, what is man that thou art mindful of him, or the son of man that you choose to visit him? But you do, because you put a part of yourself in us. Because you made us in your image and in your likeness, that we might have fellowship with you and bring joy to your heart, as you bring joy to our hearts. For this we are grateful. We enter your word and ask the same presence go with us. Come and unfold the word. Come and open our eyes, that we may behold wondrous things out of thy law. Anoint me afresh. Let me speak as I should, as an oracle of God. Put the same unction and anointing upon the ears and the hearts of all your people, those who are physically present here, those who are at home, those who are in the uttermost parts of the earth that are fellowshipping with us. Put the same unction so that the word will flow freely, Father, from you through me to your people, to do an internal and eternal work in all of our hearts, including my own. Causing our wills in particular to become more humble, our minds to be more enlightened with revelation, knowledge and light, our emotions to be more tempered and controlled by the power of the fruit of your Spirit. I further pray that as I speak, you will release the power of your Spirit in sufficient measure to follow these words, to back them wherever they are heard and released in all the earth. Power that will heal, power that will deliver, power that will break yokes, power that will free men so that they will become doers of the things which they hear and not hearers only. I also pray that as I speak, Lord God, you will release, you will have mercy upon me to deliver the word with precision, to redeem the time, to say only what you want me to say. Bringing out of the treasure of this word things new and old, indeed as a scribe instructed unto the kingdom. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. And all those in agreement receiving all the blessings mentioned in that prayer agreed with me individually and said,
yes.
Today I have a very important present truth prophetic instructional message. I will repeat that. It is a present truth, in other words, something's happening as I speak. It is prophetic because it's in the prophetic scriptures. And it is a instructional message. In other words, there are instructions that are going to come from this message that are going to be crucial and important for you and I to begin to act upon and to practice. And I've entitled it, Clearing the Highway to Zion. In the last few months, there has been and still is a great expectation in the body of Christ for a fresh, new, spectacular outpouring of the power of the Holy Spirit upon the church. This expectation has been there since the Feast of Passover, in which God arranged that it was a literal Passover, like what happened in the first Passover because of this coronavirus and pandemic, we're all in our homes, you know, not even the churches, not even the in the Vatican, in Rome. Nobody went to church on Easter Sunday. Everybody was at home, except for, you know, people who came and made recordings like we did. And the Pentecost followed, and everybody had been in expectation for maybe a similar outpouring, what happened in the book of Acts. That hasn't happened yet, but God wants us to know that He's working. Because you see, the feast that is to be fulfilled now is neither Passover, nor is it Pentecost. It is Tabernacles. And it's the preparation towards the Feast of Tabernacles that is going to come September, late September, early October, that is going on as I speak. And this prophetic message, this present truth message, speaks to that preparation. And it is actually a build-up on other prophetic messages that have come. I shared with us a prophetic message on the day of Pentecost, you know, around that time, on, you know, shining from Zion. And that light is still shining as I speak. And it is all of that that God is using at the moment to prepare His people for what is coming. Yesterday, I stumbled upon, I wasn't looking for it, my prayer time, you know, and prophecy Kenneth Hagin gave many years ago. I've heard most of Kenneth Hagin's prophecies, but that particular one, I don't think I've heard it. And I will have Sister Shola to transcribe it, and we'll post it to all of us, you know. But in summary, he spoke about this great move of the Spirit that is still to come. This was many years ago. He prophesied this maybe about 20, 25, 30 years ago, you know. And he spoke about the fact of great miracles, and, you know, then he didn't stop there. He went on to talk about wisdom for prosperity, you know, what I call the ability of the mind of Christ, and, you know, how it's going to go to all of the nations of the earth and the great things that are going to happen. It was such an inspiration to me. I shared it with my pastors. I will share it with the main church probably during this week. You know, I sent it to the pastors, you know, so that they could, you know, keen and listen. The expectation is high all over the body of Christ, all over the world. You know, when something doesn't happen, maybe when we think it should happen, maybe it hasn't happened for a week, or it happened in a month, the tendency, you know, is to get sometimes discouraged or say, well, maybe it's not true, maybe it's not going to happen. But that would be the biggest mistake you can make. Because the Word of God is true. My wife shared recently about a new dawn on the church, and then in particular, you know, on the body of Christ from beyond the rivers of Ethiopia that will now spread to all of the nations of the earth. And one of the characteristics of the dawning of a morning is that it is gradual. You never get up in the morning and suddenly it's just bright. No. It's a little dark. Then you start seeing the light. Then it increases in intensity. It increases until you get the full bloom or brightness of a new day. Spiritually, exactly the same thing is happening. There's a new dawn. And for those who are sensitive in the spirit, you can already see the light. You can see it's a new day already. And that light is going to keep increasing. It's going to keep increasing onto the perfect day. I'd like you to turn me in your Bible to Isaiah chapter 40. This is not a message you can listen to with half your mind somewhere else. You need to hear and grasp. By the time I finish, you'll appreciate what I'm saying. What the Holy Ghost is saying. And you know, this was given to me just a few days ago. I had another message. There's a message I've had that I thought I was going to preach. It's called, you know, it's time to follow Jesus. And the Holy Spirit said, it's not time yet to preach that one. And the last few weeks, just been giving me different. And there's another one coming again next week. And it's not going to be that one I thought. You know. Isaiah chapter 40. This is a familiar scripture. But we're not going to read in a familiar way. Praise the Lord. Now, this is the scripture John the Baptist quoted. It's true of John the Baptist. It's also true of us today. Verse 3. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 3. Let us read together. The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Remember, the title of this message is Clearing the Highway to Zion. So John the Baptist, or rather Isaiah here, is prophesying and saying that a highway needs to be made in the desert. We're going to see what all those things are. All these are symbolic terms for spiritual realities. He's not talking about a literal desert. He's not talking here about a literal highway like, you know, the Lagos Ibadan Expressway. Though I'm going to use some of that to illustrate what I'm talking about. He's not talking about a physical, you know, highway and a physical desert. He's talking about the human mind. And the trip, our journey as Christians, typified and shadowed by the journey of the people of Israel from Egypt through the wilderness to the promised land. I'm getting ahead of myself, but you know, it's important for me to make these understandings known to us. Because the Bible says that hearing they will hear and they will not understand. Seeing they will see and they will not perceive. You know, that's why God has hidden his wisdom in types and shadows. And you need prophetic and apostolic anointings to rightly divide the word and bring out what is hidden. He said it is the honor of kings to search out a matter. It is the glory of God to conceal it. So if you read anything with a natural mind, you would think he's talking about the desert. He's not talking about the desert. He's not talking about the literal highway. Now, verse 4. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low. The crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. Again, he's not talking about literal hills and valleys and crooked places. He's talking about the condition of the human mind. The soul, not just the mind. The mind, the will, the emotions. Things that are high are going to be brought low, like pride. Things that are low, like low self-esteem, are going to be brought high, you know. And crooked places where we have, you know, lack of knowledge, we don't know where to go, will be made straight. Rough places that are already correct, but, you know, we don't have clarity of the instruction. It will become so clear, the place, the road, so to speak, will now become smooth. And there is a purpose for this highway. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. The purpose of this highway is to create a path through which God's glory can be revealed in such a great manner for the whole world to see it. Observe, he said they will see it together. Now, there's a application here to the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, when Jesus came the first time and he came, you know, born as a baby in Bethlehem, and his glory was revealed, and it was revealed to Israel, you know, and the people of that time. And then it was written down by the apostles, you know, who are eyewitnesses, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you know, and later on Paul and Luke and the Acts of the Apostles, and down through the centuries and millennia, all flesh has come to see the glory of God that was revealed in Jesus Christ through the accounts of the written scripture. So there is an application there. But I want to submit to you, and this is why we have the manifold wisdom of God, that this was true of Jesus, but also true of us. Now, in our day, today, the glory of God is going to be revealed, and this part of it will be fulfilled. All flesh, down through the millennia, these last 2,000 years, you know, all humanity, generally speaking, has come to see the glory of God as written in the scriptures of what Jesus did. Jesus walked on water, Jesus turned water to wine, etc., etc. But they didn't see it together. One generation read it, then the next generation saw it. But today, glory to God. God is going to manifest the glory of God, and all men living on the earth will see it together. And that's only possible through satellite television. It was not possible in any other age. Now, literally, this scripture can come to pass. They will see it together. People in Japan, people in India, people in America, people in Africa, people in all the different nations of the world will be in real time. They will see it at the same time together. Something that is beyond human comprehension is about to be released in the earth. Turn with me to Isaiah chapter 35. And I'm going to read, we're going to read from verse 1. It's the same thing Isaiah is talking about. In verse 40, chapter 40, he talks about it in a different way. But it's the same spiritual truth that he's being spoken of here. Here we have a little bit more detail about what this thing is all about. He said, the wilderness, remember in Isaiah 40, you know, you make a straightway path in the desert, in the wilderness. Same thing here. The wilderness and the solitary place shall be glad for them. The desert shall rejoice and blossom as a rose. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice even with joy, and the singing of the glory of Lebanon, hallelujah, shall be given unto it, the excellency of Carmel and Sharon, and they shall see the glory of God. The same thing he said in Isaiah 40. And the excellency of our God. It reminds me of 2 Peter, you know, where it says that God has called us out of darkness to show for the excellencies, the virtues of our God, you know, the excellency of God, of our God. Now, I want to make a comment about verses 1 and 2. Last week, I gave an important message on the prophecy of Scripture. This is one example of such. See, this prophetic Scripture has a double interpretation, probably more than double, actually. You know, that's why the Bible talks about the manifold. Manifold means that it has many applications of the wisdom of God. But I want to just look at two of them now. There is a literal fulfillment of this scripture physically that Israel, natural Israel, is fulfilling as we speak. When Israel got their independence, or rather they declared the state of Israel in 1947, 1948, you know, and some of the Israelis had, you know, the Zionist movement had started in the 1890s, you know, and after World War I, you know, the British Empire overtook the Turkish, overcame the Turkish Empire, and, you know, they took over Jerusalem, and then there was this move to create a Palestinian, a state for Israel in Palestine by Lord Balfour, who was the Foreign Secretary of England, of the United Kingdom at that time. He, you know, you need to read history. I didn't know this until recently. I knew about the fact of Lord Balfour, but I didn't know who he was. He was a Christian. And he knew the prophetic scriptures. And he knew that God had brought him to that point for such a time as this. So he was the one that instigated that move so that they would create a state for Palestine, for Israel in that land. He understood what he was doing. I'll tell you another one that you may not know. You know, these things, they're not written in history books because, you know, the people who write the history books, many of them are not Christians. Their minds are not enlightened. And some of them are even anti-God. So they suppress the truth. How many people have heard Harry Truman? Harry Truman was the president of America immediately after World War II. World War II came to an end in May, in Europe, in May 1945. In Japan, it came to an end in September. Franklin Roosevelt, who was a president, you know, who did a great job, died in April 1945. His vice president was Truman. Truman was a Christian. And he understood, as a young boy in secondary school, he got to know the Bible. You know, I think his mommy and all of that, and the people around him, they taught him, you know, in Sunday school and all of that. So he knew that for the end time, it was important for Israel to be formed as a nation. So when he became president and the war ended, one of the first things he pushed was for a Palestinian state. For an Israeli state in Palestine. And he took all of the weight, the financial power, the political influence of America to make sure that it happened. He had a friend, I can't remember the guy's name, who was a Christian, you know, and a pastor. That one said, "You are here there now. This time must not pass." And he got it done. He got it done. This scripture is being fulfilled by natural Israel. Israel, when they went to Palestine, it was a wasteland. But Israel has, God has done an agricultural miracle. Israel is now growing flowers, plants. They are experts in, you know, underground irrigation. You know, they have literally turned the wilderness into they have called the wilderness to blossom. There's the Negev Desert, which is south of Israel, which is the border between Israel and Egypt. Parts of the Negev Desert have been completely transformed. It's blossom. If you check, go and check it on YouTube, you know, just put Israel Desert, something like that, it will come out. You will see all kinds of documentaries on the miracle. This thing has literally happened. It has blossomed abundantly and all of that. But that's just one application. There is a spiritual application to this scripture. So it isn't just, and you can see that immediately, because even though Israel, God has used natural Israel and given them the wisdom and the technology to transform the desert to become an agricultural masterpiece that has, you know, brought food, you know, tomatoes. Israel exports tomatoes, they export food, they export flowers, they export all kinds of things, grapes, wine. Give the Lord a clap offering, somebody. But there is a part of the scripture that Israel hasn't fulfilled. The glory of the Lord. The glory is not just the glory of flowers. Thank God for flowers. Amen. And grapes and wine. He's talking here about the glory that Jesus had. The excellency of our God. There's a lot of excellent things in Israel. But this scripture, while it has an application to natural Israel, has a deeper and more complete application to us, the church. He's talking to us. And you can see it from verse 3. Strengthen ye the weak hands. Confirm the feeble knees. Say ye to them that are of a fearful heart, be strong. Fear not. Behold. Behold means look and see. Get revelation. Your God will come. Notice he didn't say he has come. He said he will come. He's talking about the Christ coming in us. Christ in us, the hope of glory. But he's not going to come out now. He's going to come with a vengeance. Even God with a recompense. Recompense is a two-edged sword. It means a reward for those who have been faithful to God, and a punishment or a recompense to those who have done evil. So it's a double application. And here he says, he will come and save you. Verse 35. Then, turn to your neighbor and say, then when? When God comes with a vengeance. That's when this is going to happen. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened. In other words, before God comes with a vengeance, the eyes of the blind will not be opened. And here he's not only talking physically. That's going to happen. Blind eyes are going to open. There's going to be that, those kind of physical miracles. But he's also talking about spiritual eyes. I was sharing this with my wife recently. You know, there are a lot of people now, they are spiritually blind. Their description is in Revelation, which we read, you know, which we studied earlier on. And in 2 Peter, where it says, you know, he that lacketh this thing is blind and cannot see afar off. Many Christians are like that now. They're spiritual. You're saying deep things to them, they can't see it. You know, then in Book of Revelation, talking about the Laodicean church, he says, you know, you are blind, you're miserable. He said, get eye salve. But this vengeance, this glory, when it comes, is going to open their eyes. People who couldn't see before will start seeing. They will start seeing what you've been saying for years. They start seeing it clearly. Watch this. The intensity of the light of the glory of God will open their eyes. But that won't be all. Then the eyes of the eye shall be blind, and the ears of the deaf shall be what? Unstopped. People who are deaf to spiritual things. They don't know. You'd be telling, they'll be hearing, but they won't hear. I have a lot of people like that. The church is full of them. Because they lack the development of the flow. So he said, he that lacketh these things is blind. Talking about, you know, add to your faith, virtue to virtue, knowledge to knowledge, temperance to temperance, patience to patience, brotherly kindness to brotherly kindness, love. He said, he that lacketh these things. And that's because it hasn't been taught, it's not been emphasized, the fruit of the Spirit. So a lot of our people are spiritually blind. But thank God, God is coming. He's coming in us with a vengeance. And when he comes, the eyes will be opened of the blind, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. But he doesn't stop there. Verse 6. Then shall the lame leap as an hart. People who have not been able to walk spiritually. We preached this message many years ago. My wife actually gave it. It's called Strength to the Ankle Bones. It's still on our website. You know, we recorded it, you know, and we wrote it down. You know, like the man at the gate called Beautiful. He says he receives strength in his ankle bones. There are people who are spiritually lame. They can't pray. They can't walk in the spirit. All these things I say, you know, pray once every 6 hours. They can't do, you know, they're lame. But Bible says here, it says they will leap as a hart. And the tongue of the dumb shall sing. Glory to God. For now, you could now understand that this can never be a physical wilderness. For in the wilderness shall waters break out and stream the desert. In other words, it is the waters in the wilderness and in the wilderness and the stream of the desert that is going to cause this condition of the removal of the blindness, the removal of the deafness, you know, and causing them to walk. You know why? Something life symbolized by water is going to come into their soul. The soul before that was a wilderness. The soul before that, it had very little water in it at all. Maybe small oasis. The Bible says that God is going to cause waters to break out in the wilderness. And streams, not oasis, not just one small. Streams inside the desert of their mind. See, the mind, the will, and the emotions are the gateway through which the life of God enters into the physical body to minister, to cause men to be transformed. Let me say this. I think it's a good place for me to say this here. When we get born again, we leave Egypt. And we now start going towards the promised land. The promised land is the perfection of fullness of Christ. To make that trip, we have to go through the wilderness That wilderness is our soul. Our soul initially is a wilderness. There is no life of God there, no water, very little water, if any. You understand? There's a desert, it's a wilderness. Now, God has to do a transformation work, which we call the renewing of the mind, to put the life of God that is inside the spirit in through the will, through the mind, into the mind, into the emotions, so that that wilderness now will become, it will blossom. It will now be a fruitful land. It will now bring forth the fruit of the Spirit. Hitherto, it has not brought forth the fruit of the Spirit. When that happens, then that person makes a transition from going in the wilderness and he begins to enter the promised land, which is called Zion. And it is that transformation of the soul that is actually being spoken about in these prophetic scriptures. Is not just talking about a literal wilderness and a literal desert. Verse 7. And the parched ground, I didn't hear you, shall become a pool, and the thirsty land springs. Observe here, there's plenty of water here. We've got streams. We've got waters breaking out. We've got springs, which normally is not characteristic of a desert. In the habitation of dragons, and you know, that just, you know, jackals and, you know, these funny animals that inhabit the desert. So he's talking here, excuse me, where am I? My Bible, once you touch it, it jumps to another chapter. Right. In verse 7, it says, the parched ground shall become a pool, and the thirsty land springs of water. And in the habitation of dragons where each lay shall be grass with reeds and rushes. Normally you don't see grass in a desert. But because of the transformation and the water that now comes, that desert will now bring forth grass, you know, and reeds and rushes. Let me just look at this in one of the other translations. He says, the burning sand, amplified, the burning sand and the mirage shall become a pool, and the thirsty ground springs of water, and in the haunt of jackals, where they lay resting, they shall be grass with reeds and rushes. You know, let's go back to the scripture, because I don't want to get off my point. And then he says, and a highway... Verse 8, that's my punchline here. And a highway shall be there. Turn to your neighbor, there where? In the desert. In the desert. In the desert of your mind. What all things that were not clear before. Things that, you know, you just had a little here, a little there. It's going to become, there'll be a highway now. Like an expressway. Hallelujah. We said this over the years. The journey from Ramses to the promised land is only 11 days. Is only 11. Can you believe it? The 11 day journey became a 40 year agony because of Israel's disobedience. The same thing has happened to the church. Going from the new birth to perfection is not a very long journey. But because the knowledge of it has not been with us, and our minds, our will, mind, emotions have been like a wilderness. Many times we've been roaming in that mind, roaming in that wilderness for sometimes 10 years, 15, 20, 60, 70 years. Die, go to heaven, never enter the promised land. But God is going to change that now. Because a highway is being built as I speak. In fact, it's being built. I'm going to get there in a minute. You know, in the wilderness for us to take. You don't have to take detours anymore. You can take the highway and transit straight. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Into the glory of God. Amen. And a highway shall be there. I didn't hear you. And a way. And it. Turn to your neighbor and say, it's what? It's the highway. Shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass away. In other words, if you're not born again, you're not going to get on this road. You know, like it says in Corinthians, it says that if you're born again, your children are clean because of the believing partner. Else they were unclean. So unclean here just means a person that's not born again. But it shall be for those The wayfaring man, though fools, shall not err therein. This is such an encouragement to me. Because you see, I've been teaching on perfection and all of these things for almost 30 years. Now, over 30 years. And majority of the people I have spoken to, they don't understand what I'm talking about. My wife says that to me. She said, honey, how many of you in our church? How many people really understand what you're saying? How many people are actually doing these things? It's one of the reasons why God used her to start Good Morning Jesus. And that has really awakened a lot of people. Because, you know, people, you know, they pray before, but not properly. And because there was nobody checking on them, but now people are praying more consistently and their minds are awakening. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And here it says in the Amplified Bible, it says, and a highway shall be there. I didn't hear you. And a way. And the way of holiness is called to it. Excuse me. And it shall be called the holy way. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for the redeemed, born again people. The wayfaring men, yes, the simple ones, the fools, shall not err in it or lose their way. It will be so clear that even the fool will not miss it. Hallelujah. You know, I can now understand to some extent, because of this truth, how Judas could carry the glory. Judas was not the best guy in the world. But that was not only true of Judas. That Judas was an exception because he betrayed the Lord, which was horrible, and he was, you know, covetous, and he was stealing money from the bank. Well, all of those guys, they all had infirmities. Peter, James, John, all of them. You know, but Jesus so taught them. And because of their association with him and their proximity with him, you know, that even the fools could carry the glory. They will not lose their way therein. Let's go back. Verse 9. Isaiah 35 verse 9. Say, no lion shall be there, nor any ravenous beast shall go up thereon. He's saying that it will be free of demonic activity. The beast here, we spoke about the beast when we're taking the book of Revelation. He's talking about principalities and powers, you know, these terrible influences that influence the governments of the world, making them corrupt, making them, you know, destructive, ravenous, and destructive to mankind. But he's saying on this highway, the intercession will be so much. It's totally inaccessible. Inaccessible. You won't be able to make it there. Say, no lion will be there. No ravenous beast. Are you listening to me? Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Shall go up there. It shall not be found there. But the redeemed shall walk there. They will be walking under covering. Hallelujah. The power of God will be so much that Satan will not be able to affect the walk of the people. Oh, thank God for my wife. At least she understands what I'm saying. Amen. And the ransomed, verse 10, and the ransomed of the Lord shall return. Oh, you know, the Holy Spirit was speaking to me about this. You know, he always does this to me many times when I'm reading the Bible. Then he asked me a question, return from where? Return from where? I'll tell you in a minute. Let me finish reading, then I'll tell you from where. He said, and the ransom of the Lord, that's us, the redeemed, ransom, redeemed, people he's bought back, shall return and come to where? Zion. That's why it's a highway to Zion. It's supposed to take us through the wilderness of our mind to Zion, the promised land, the place of perfection. Shall come to Zion with songs and everlasting joy upon their heads. And they the ransomed, they the redeemed, shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing will what? Flee away. You know where we're returning from? Babylon. Babylon. That's where we're returning from. You see, all of us were born in Babylon. People don't like to accept that. But it's the truth. When we were born, got born again, the operation of the church majorly speaking, was a Babylonian operation. God is now transiting the church, taking us from Babylon, from Egypt, then Babylon, you know, taking us, this wilderness operation is a Babylonian operation. And he now wants to take us to Zion. And so he's built a highway for us to go to Zion. But something is happening. Now, this is where the expressway of Nigeria comes in. As I was preparing, you know, meditating and praying about this something, God reminded me of our present expressway, which has been in construction for years now. I don't want to go into all of that. You know, the expressway between Ibadan and Lagos. Let me just use that one as an illustration. You know, it's being built. There are parts of it that have been finished that are good. There's still a lot of it. There's still a significant amount of it that has not yet been finished. And you know, when you go on the expressway now, you will see all kinds of boulders, all kinds of restrictions. You can't go here. You can't go here. They will block this place. There are all kinds of blocks and all kinds of things because it has not been finished. Now, in the same way, this highway to Zion has actually been finished. In other words, the direction between Zion and Babylon is clear. You know, the expressway is there. But on the way, there are still boulders. There are all kinds of debris, you know, and rubbish that's still on the way that need to be cleared out of the way. That's the title of this message, clearing, not building, it's been built. But clearing the highway to Zion. And I'm going to corroborate this with some other scriptures. Look at Isaiah chapter. We'll quickly look at two of them. We'll look at Isaiah. Thank you, Jesus. Look at Isaiah chapter 57 and verse 14. I'm going to read that scripture in isolation. It says, "And they shall say," I didn't hear you, "Cast ye up. Cast ye up. Prepare the way. Take up the stumbling block out of the way of my people." The way is already there, but there's a lot of stuff, just like our present expressway. If you go to the expressway now, you will see all these pieces of cement and concrete that are all over the expressway. They will block this place. They will block that place. Then you have to stop. And then, you know, there is a constriction of traffic. And then you have to take this. And then you have to come back here. All that is going to be removed. That's what this message is all about. It's the clearing of the highway. The highway has been built. Been built years ago. Some of us, by the grace and the mercy of God, the way to Zion, perfection, the principles, you know, the pillars of wisdom, everything is clear. But there are a lot of boulders and things that are on the way in many of our individual minds. And it is that, those blocks that he wants to remove. Now go to Isaiah chapter 62 and verse 10. He says the same thing. I'm going to read it from the Amplified and some other. But let's read it first of all from the King James. Say, "Go through." I didn't hear you. "Go through the gates. Prepare ye the way of the people. Cast up. Cast up the highway. Gather out the stones. And lift up a standard for the people." When God showed me this, it blew my mind in the sense that, you know, it made me very excited. Let's read this from the Amplified as well as from the Message Bible. He says, "Go through the gates. Go through the gates. Prepare ye the way of the people. Cast up the highway. Gather out the stones." Everybody say, "Gather out the stones." All things that are blocking your mind. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. "Lift up a standard or ensign over and for the peoples." In the Message Bible, it says, "Walk out of the gates. Get going. Get the road ready. Build the highway. Get at it. Clear the debris. Hoist a high flag and a signal to all the peoples." You know, when this Lagos Expressway is finished, we're trusting God it will finish. In Jesus' name. Once they finish it, all of those blocks were going to be removed. And you know what's going to also happen? They were now going to put new signs. Lagos to Ibadan. Then when you need to exit, they will say, this place is this exit. This one is so many kilometers. All the signs will be there. You know, that always happens when you finish a road. When you've done it properly, you've removed, you know, you will see caterpillars, you will see all kinds of cleaning vehicles. They will come, they will sweep, they will get all the debris out of the way. Then they will hoist a proper signal, a proper banner, you know, on the highway, so that it will be clear to people this: when you enter, how you exit, when you come back here, all of that, landmarks all over the way, straight from Lagos to Ibadan. That's what God is doing in the spirit now. God is clearing the debris. He's clearing the stones out of the highway in our minds. Many of us, we know seven pillars of wisdom. We know perfection. But there are a lot of boulders and pillars that are in our mind that needs to be removed. And when it's done, there will be a banner that will be so clear, and it will be hosted for the nations. You know, in Isaiah chapter 18, it says that we should go up to the mountains and lift an ensign unto the people. Unto all the peoples of the world. The road to Zion will be so clear. People from all over the world will see. They will see the sign. And they will come and join us. Now, this message has such an important prophetic application as to the time we're in now. And to be able to appreciate this, I want us to go to Psalm 58. I shared it recently. Mommy also shared it with you in Good Morning Jesus and with some of the brethren, you know, about before the pots shall feel the thorns. We actually mentioned this, I think, on Wednesday too. And in verse 9 and 10 and 11, you know, and I'm going to link them up. He said, before your pots. Turn to your neighbor and say, the pots he's talking about is you and I. We are the vessels. We are the pots. Can feel the thorns. You know, the Amplified Bible says, placed under them for fuel. You know, before you can start feeling the heat of the thorns. He will take them. Turn to your neighbor and say, them who? Them, the thorns. Away. As with a whirlwind, the green and the burning ones alike. In other words, you know, it's like, you know, putting things under a cooking pot. So some of them are old and they're already burning. Some are just about to start burning. The Bible says, before we feel the heat, God is going to remove it. Now, let me give you the spiritual understanding and interpretation of this verse. Thorns, there, is talking about the devil. It says, there was given unto me a messenger of Satan, the thorn in the flesh. So what God is telling us that before we feel, before, let me say it in a simpler way. Before Satan's buffeting and attack through the thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan that's hitting us now. And if you're walking in the spirit and you're moving in the right direction, you will see that there's been a lot of attack. He's trying to discourage you. He's trying to make you stop. He's trying to make you give up. Don't give in. Because he will not be able to penetrate your armor. Before the thorns, both the spiritual and the human agents that they are using, before they can penetrate your armor, God's vengeance is going to come. And God is going to remove them. Glory be to God. They are not going to disturb this journey to Zion. We're going to get to Zion. Hallelujah. And so that's why he said, you, before your pots can feel the thorns, he says, going to take them away as with a whirlwind, you know, green and burning ones alike. And if I go back to the King James, because I stay with the King James and then I move in and out of the modern translation, he said, the righteous shall rejoice when he sees what? The what? What did he say in Psalm 35? In Isaiah 35? Your God will come with a vengeance. In other words, what is going to save us is God coming in us. in the fullness of Christ, I'm bringing vengeance. Vengeance on the religious pharaohs, vengeance on the Pentecostal pharaohs, vengeance on the economic pharaohs, vengeance on the political pharaohs to set his people free, like he did when he brought vengeance upon Pharaoh and set the children of Israel free. He brought vengeance upon Haman and set Esther and Mordecai and the Jews free. The same thing is going to happen now. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Now this is what is coming. And when it happens, we will rejoice. We will not be rejoicing at the death of people. We don't do that. You know, but we're going to rejoice in our deliverance. Glory be to God. And he shall wash his feet in the blood of the wicked, so that a man shall say, verily, there is a reward for the righteous. In other words, all this prayer and righteousness you've been doing, there is a reward for it. The reward of the glory of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It says, verily, he is a God that what? Judgeth in the earth. So, this is going to be a highway to Zion that is being prepared. And what God is doing now, and the Lord now encouraged me. In fact, he gave me such an encouragement, you know. He said, between now and the Feast of Tabernacles, during this time, you are in... I never connected it like he connected it for me. He said, you're in a season of harvest. And that's what they are. If you go to natural Israel now, that's what they're doing. The harvest started from Passover. That was the barley harvest. Pentecost was the wheat harvest. After Pentecost, in the summer months, which is June has just passed now, July and August, these next 2 months, in Israel, in natural Israel, what they are harvesting now are the fruits. They harvest things like pomegranates and all of that. Then they harvest grapes that are going to be used for wine. All of that harvest is what is going to be used and brought for the Feast of Tabernacles. Glory be to God. And in the same way now, you know what God is harvesting in these next few months for us? And that's why you have to stay the course. Don't be discouraged. Don't allow the attack of the thorns to disturb you. It's not going to penetrate. And before it tries to, God is going to come with a vengeance and going to remove him. Just stay with it. Glory be to God. And you know what you're supposed to be harvesting now? Fruit. The fruit of the Spirit. You know why? Because it's the fruit of the Spirit. No wonder why God taught us all those prayers. I have more love, joy, peace, daily. More long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness, self-control, and patience. What you're doing daily is that you're harvesting fruit. You're bringing more of the fruit of the Spirit into your mind, your will, your emotions, transforming it from a wilderness to a fruitful place. You are taking the life of God from your spirit, living water, and you're getting into the mind, the will, the emotions, causing a streams in the desert that's going to bring forth fruit. So this next few months that we're going to be operating, that's why it's a present truth prophetic word. This next few months is a time of harvesting the fruit of the Spirit, putting the life of God, the water, into the wilderness of the soul, transforming your soul. This individually now, each of us needs to do this work in our own soul, in our mind, our will, our emotions, so that we can blossom, our wilderness can be blossom like the rose. It can bring forth the fruit of the Spirit. This is going to be crucial in these next few months. And you know, in Deuteronomy chapter 16, in verse 13, you see this truth there. It's a prophetic shadow. And listen what it says, and thou shalt observe, I didn't hear you, the Feast of Tabernacles 7 days before, after you have gathered in thy corn and thy wine. Wine comes from grapes. The Feast of Tabernacles always happens after the fruit has been gathered in. The fruit is gathered in first, and then we do the Feast of Tabernacles. You cannot have the Feast of Tabernacles if the fruit has not been gathered in. So in these next few weeks and months, you know, that are ahead of us, and then the Lord, he encouraged me greatly. You know, I've always said this, and that's why you shouldn't say things only from your mind. You should always go and back to what the Bible actually said. You know, that Jesus didn't tell them, and he really didn't tell them. You know, when he told 500, the Bible tells us, that saw him after he was raised from the dead. And he was teaching them for 40 days. So on the day of Ascension, around the time of Ascension, he said that they should wait in Jerusalem until they be endued with the power from on high. Then a scripture, I knew the scripture, I've read it over the years, but the Holy Spirit now put me to remember. You know what he told them? He hinted them. He said, not many days hence. It's in Acts chapter 1. Go and check it. Let's quickly check it. And I want to bring a parallel prophetic word to us now to encourage you. So don't get discouraged now. Acts chapter 1, verses 4 and 5. And being assembled together, he commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which you have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many months hence. No. He hinted them, it's only 10 days. But they didn't know. It was only 10 days. But he didn't tell them the exact day. He just said, not many days. And I'm telling us now, not many months. He hasn't told us, we do not know the exact day, hour, and time. We cannot know that because Jesus himself did not know that the glory would start manifesting in Cana of Galilee. He didn't know that. He just knew that it was going to be around the time of the Feast of Passover. That's why he told his mommy, it's not time yet. But when his mommy now told him, they have no one, do whatever he says, the Holy Ghost said, it's time. But it was very close to the Passover. In the same way, I don't know the day or the hour. And I'm not saying, thus, this is, you know, God said this. You know, like Paul said, you know, I believe I have the Spirit of God, you know, and I perceive. It's going to be sometime soon, you know, maybe around or just before, around the Feast of Tabernacles. Now, the thing to do, that's why this is a present truth, instructional prophetic word, is to keep gathering the fruit in. Let water enter your soul. Convert your desert. Let streams break out in the desert of your mind. Let springs of water spring out in the soul, in the wilderness of your mind. That's what we all need to be doing now. And the Lord gave me specific instructions, which I'm going to leave with us as I close. The first one is Romans 12:12. It says, rejoicing in hope. Hope of what? Hope of the glory. Romans chapter 5 in verses 1 and 2. It says, we rejoice in the hope. Let's go there. That's a scripture many of us are not very familiar with. Look at Romans chapter 5 and look at verses 1 and 2. Let's just focus on verse 2. He says, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the... Turn to your neighbor and say, rejoice in the hope of the glory. The glory is coming. Not many months hence. Rejoice. 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 Rejoice in the hope of the glory. Hallelujah. It's not as far off. All we're doing now is removing the stones from the highway by bringing forth more of the fruit of the Spirit and putting more life into our soul, the mind, the will, and the emotions. We're removing the blockages, the stones that are blocking the highway. The highway has been constructed, but there are blocks on it. And we're removing that now. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Look at Romans chapter 8. This so encouraged me. This is what the Lord shared with me and said I should come and share with us. Romans chapter 8. And I'm going to focus on verse 23, you know, to about verse 25, 26. We are very familiar with some of the other things. It says, talking about us, born again Christians. It says, talking about creation groaning, you know, because of the bondage of corruption, because of the influence of sin and all its attendant effects. So in verse 23 it says, and not only they, I didn't hear you. And not only they, but ourselves also. Turn to your neighbor and say, he's talking to you, he's talking to me. Which have the first fruits of the Spirit. Turn to your neighbor and say, you have the first fruits of the Spirit. I have the first fruits of the Spirit. I speak in tongues. But I do not yet have the fullness of the Spirit. All I have is the first fruits. But I'm waiting now for the fullness. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. I taught this some years ago when I taught about, you know, being filled with all the fullness of God. I said, when we got the first fruits, the Spirit was manifest through one member, the tongue. But when we now get the fullness, the Spirit is going to be manifest through all our members. Hallelujah. Ladies, mark my word. You will go to the supermarket and you will be minding your own business. You will just be shopping, you know, buying food for the house and everything, and just maybe quietly just praying in tongues and walking in the Spirit, and people will touch you, touch your handbag and get healed. People will come and they will kneel before you and say, please pray for me. Because of the glory, I can see the glory of God upon you. Hallelujah! It's coming, because it's not going to be manifest only through a tongue. It's going to manifest through the entire body. They will touch your handbag and get healed. They will touch your dress, touch your car. And sometimes, you know, you won't even know. You wouldn't have prayed for anybody. Just like with Jesus and the woman with the issue of blood. It's coming. Turn to everybody and say, it's coming. Say, it's coming. It's coming! Glory to God. We ourselves, which have the first fruit of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves. This is where groaning comes from. It's not Olivia Johnson's invention. It's not Mommy Sarah's invention. Groan within ourselves, waiting. I would say waiting for the adoption. To wit means to know, to experience the word redemption. Redemption of our body. He's talking about the transformation of our body. Just like Abraham and Sarah's bodies were transformed to give birth to Isaac, our physical bodies are going to be transformed to manifest the fullness of the Son of God. Now look at what Paul says here. And this is instructive to us now. He says, for we are saved by hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. We haven't seen it yet. For what a man seeth, why does he yet hope for? All this, you know, the glory of God, we've talked glory of God, we rejoice the hope of God, but we haven't seen it yet. He said, but if we hope, I didn't hear you. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Everyone says, Christ in you, the hope of glory. For that we see not, then do we with what? Patience wait for it. Brethren, these next few months, wait for it. With patience. You see, you don't wait passively. You wait actively. How do you wait? You wait by prayer. Rejoicing in hope. Patient in tribulation. Continuing instant in prayer. In everything, give thanks. That's your modus operandi in these next few months and weeks. I have to say this so that you can learn the lesson from history. Jesus told his disciples, 500 of them, probably more. Bible says over 500. You know, go and wait in Jerusalem. The Holy Ghost, you're going to baptize the fire with the Holy Ghost and fire not many days hence. They didn't take him seriously. Some waited maybe 2 days. Some waited 3 days. My wife was talking the other day, you know, about the fact that, you know, patience, consistency is something many Christians don't have. When they've done something, you know, when they've done a little bit and they don't see any result, they give up. 380 left. Only 10 days, folks. It was the 120 that stayed with it that were in the upper room the day the Holy Ghost fell. That will not be your story. Stay with it now. Wait! He said, if we haven't seen it, we haven't seen it yet. He said, with patience we wait for it. Then he goes to what we are very familiar with. Likewise, the Spirit helpeth our infirmity. We don't know what we should pray as well, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groans. He that searches the hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, that he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for... So no matter what the thorns are doing now, ignore them. They're going to be removed by the vengeance. Are you following me? No matter all the distractions that are coming now, keep praying in the Spirit. Every distraction will turn around for your good. Hallelujah. Because you are praying in the Spirit. And whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate. To be confirmed, that's where you're going. Don't get your eye off the ball. Hallelujah. I am going to Zion. And I'm going to get there. No stones on the road are going to disturb me. Every stone around, I'm removing it now. So what we're doing is we're clearing the highway to Zion. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying in the Spirit. Put on the whole armor of God. Love, joy, peace. Put it on daily. You know, pray with all kinds of prayer in the Spirit. And I got to close with this. He says, we are going to receive a kingdom that cannot be shaken. Between now and September, October, I cannot tell you everything that's going to happen. I don't know the details. But I know that the shaking may continue. Don't allow the shaking to disturb you. Hold on to the kingdom that cannot be shaken. Stop looking at the things that are seen. And keep your eye focused on the invisible things that cannot be seen. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, the blood of Jesus that is constantly cleansing you, the life and the power of God, the angels of God, these things cannot be shaken. You hold on to that no matter how the pressures, no matter how the thorns seem to be attacking you. You know, there was given unto me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan sent to buffet me. That buffeting will not penetrate your armor. And before you feel the thorns, he will come with a vengeance and he will remove them to the glory of God. Hallelujah. Our greatest days are just ahead of us. I cannot tell you how excited and how encouraged I was when the Holy Spirit quickened that scripture to me. He said, you know, I told them not many days hence, and they didn't pick it. In our own case, you know, the day of Pentecost was one day. Ours is a feast. It starts with Rosh Hashanah, which is the head of the month of the new year, which is trumpets. Then 10 days later, we're going to have Day of Atonement. Then 5 days later, the Feast of Tabernacles will start. It's a 7-day feast. Somewhere in there, but only God knows. But I've made up my mind, I'm going to stay with it. No matter what happens, I'm going to continue to rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. I'm going to be patient, consistent in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. Daily, I will put on the armor of God. Glory be to God. I will pray in the Spirit. I will, you know, confess the word of God. I will speak God's word. I love God with all my heart, will, mind, emotional strength. And I love my brethren as Christ loved them. Pray in the Spirit once every 6 hours. I'm not going to stop my operation in the Spirit and say, how long are you going to do it? Until the glory comes. Until I will not stop. And even after the glory comes, I'm going to continue. Because I'm going to maintain it. Praise the Lord. Jesus didn't stop praying after the glory came. He continued to pray. So after the glory comes, I'm not going to stop. And that's what I want to encourage you to do, brethren. Continue in all these things that you have been taught. Don't allow the stones, this is the closing, or the thorns to distract you. The stones is what is blocking the highway. When you come to a stone that's blocking the highway, just remove it. Remove it by understanding and revelation. Just remove it. Make the crooked places straight. Make the rough places smooth. And then don't be distracted by the thorns. They are there. They are going to be removed. They will not be able to penetrate your armor. They will. You will feel their effect, but it will not penetrate. And before it can do any kind of damage, God will come with the vengeance. It's a promise. And he will remove them in Jesus' name. Stand to your feet. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. 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 Highway to Zion. Glory be to God. Zion
is calling us
to a higher,
place of praise.
To stand upon the mountain. To tell all the people, and every nation, Zion, glory to God. Us in this house, and those who have been following us for some years, the highway is there, but they are boulders and they are rocks. and there's still parts of it that are still a little bit of desert. You need more water. You need springs of water. You need streams in the desert. All that place has to blossom. Fruit. So that the way to Zion will be clear. You know that song says, this is our highest praise. Thank God for praise and worship when we sing. And we tell God how much we love Him. And that's great and it's beautiful and it's wonderful. But the highest praise is when all that we are responds to who He is. And then men see His glory in us. Then we now declare, not by talk, but by demonstration of the Spirit and of power that He reigns. And then praise will go up to God from all the nations of the earth. When they see the God in us, they will say, this is our God, we have waited for Him. That's the highest praise. That's the highest praise. Raise that hand. Touch your forehead. In each of us as individuals, the degree of the finishing of the highway is at different levels. Some people, the highway is finished, it's boulder. Some people, the highway is like the one in the expressway. Some of it is finished, some of it isn't. You know. But these next few weeks and months, cast up, remove the debris, clear the way. Let water come into your mind, life. Let springs of water, streams in the desert, harvesting the fruit. Because that's the fruit you're going to use to fulfill the footsteps, the tabernacles that's coming, and carry the glory. Raise that hand. Say, Father, I confess our sins, especially the sins of unbelief, impatience, murmuring, complaining, because the glory has not yet come. Lord, I'm sorry. I repent of any unbelief that I have had in my heart because I haven't seen all that has been talked about in this season. Father, I repent of this. I receive life and power in sufficient measure as I pray now. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for bringing clarity as to what you are doing and what is happening right now. I thank you for your prophetic word that has shown me that the highway is ready. I have to remove now all the stones and all the blocks on the highway and put more life and water, springs of water and streams into the desert to bring forth more fruit, to harvest the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness, self-control, and patience in my soul. Now, in preparation for the Feast of Tabernacles, where the fullness of your glory will be made manifest. Oh God, have mercy on me. Help me to be faithful. I receive mercy to be faithful, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, in everything giving thanks, not allowing my hands to go weak. You said we should strengthen the weak hands. We should raise our hands, strengthen the feeble knees. Lord, I strengthen. I receive strength from you to strengthen me in these next few months, to stay faithful until the glory appears. And I partake of the same in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's pray in the Spirit. Nika tolomoshalekako. Lipriti tofridik tofredengas. Reparakatushke fridis. Lopridia ramash tofridisk. Mercy, Lord. Rambika tolomoshalekiko fridisk. Mercy, Lord. Ramakatalamashalekiko fridis. Mercy, Lord. Librica clamatolomo to free do free share. Lambra clamatolomo to free do free. Talk clamatolomo tolomo to free do free share. Talk clamatolomo so. Lombra clamatolomo to free do free share. Zeliki go clamatolomo to free do free shingar tolomo to free nes. Zeliki go clamatolomo to free. Tolomo to free do free share. Tolomo to free ningaras. Zeliki go confredes. Lo pridias. Rima tu fredes, nik tu fredes, lo pridias, rima tu fredes, lum pridik tu fredes. In Jesus' name, we've come to the end of the service. I want to thank everybody that has come and all those who are following with us at home. As we were praying, the Lord gave me something as a great encouragement. He said, do you remember 40 years ago? 40 years ago, it was 1980. He said how difficult it was for so many people to be baptized in the Holy Spirit and to speak in tongues. I said, Lord, I do. He said, I remember after the teaching became clear, how easy it became for people to get baptized in the Holy Spirit and speak in tongues. I said, Lord, I remember. He said, because of this highway that is being that's been finished now and that the stones are being removed, people will get born again and it's going to be easy to go into perfection.
Amen.
It won't be like us who took 40 years. People will get born again, they start operating the principles, they will get the results. Within a year or two, they will start carrying the borrowed anointing. And they will just go. Because the eyes of the blind will be open. And the ears of the deaf will be unstopped. And the lame will become to be able to walk. So many people will just be coming in their multitudes. They'll say, let us go to Zion.
Amen.
To the house of the God of Jacob. For out of Zion will come the law. And he will teach us of his ways. It will not be difficult like it has been. He said, that's what is coming. The Lord bless you all. Just before I say the benediction, let me just say this. At the end of the service, we will keep the announcements on the screen and the books for about 5 minutes. The choir will continue to minister. So those of you at home can continue to look and get all the information that maybe you haven't gotten, you know. And those who are in church, you know, please, you can greet people, but no touching. You must keep strict social distancing. Immediately after this, I'm going to put on my mask. And then I will greet you from it. I love you, but I can't touch you. So I'll just greet you from a distance. Go out and greet people, but don't touch them. You know, let everything be done, you know, from a distance. The pandemic hasn't gone yet. It's still in the air. It's not our portion. There will be no bones broken in this house. Amen. But we are careful, but we are not fearful. So we do all of the things that we have been instructed to do. Even in the Old Testament, God will tell them, if you go near a dead body, you wash your hand. Stay outside the camp until evening. God taught social distancing in order to stop a pandemic from happening in natural Israel. He has not changed. So you need to keep to the laws. The Lord bless you and keep you.
Amen.
The Lord make his face to shine upon you.
Amen.
The Lord lift up the light of his countenance upon you. The Lord God gives you peace. God makes you head and not tail, above only and not beneath. Everything you set your hand to is successful. You are at least 10 times better than your peers. You possess the gates of your enemies, even the gate of death. So you will live, you will not die. You will live and declare the glory of God in the land of the living. With long life will God satisfy you and show you his salvation, even the perfection and the fullness of Christ. So the Lord imparts unto you the anointings of Enoch, Abraham, Joseph, Moses, Joshua, Ruth, David, Elisha, Daniel, Esther, Paul, and John. In Jesus' name, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God our Father, and the sweet fellowship of the blessed Holy Spirit rest and abide with us now and forevermore. In Jesus' name. Don't ever say you're on the highway to Zion. God bless you.